I'll go back to everybody else now. There we are. It's wonderful about this. You just highlight people. I'm rather pleased with that. I'm back on my screen now. Right. So, as you notice in the world at the moment, it's a bit of a sporty theme. There was tennis yesterday and tennis today. We're getting ready for the Olympics. And of course, we've got this team game. Apparently, there's a football match on this evening. And during the week, I watched an old film of the documentary on the Olympics in Australia. Lynn and I have been to see that site and the Olympic Stadium and things, which was really quite fascinating. And I might allude to that in a moment or two. But this motif, this picture of athletics in a stadium or athletes in a stadium on God's racetrack is quite common. In the New Testament, it was a big part of life then, really, particularly for the Greeks. You know, athletes, athletics was very important, and stadium sports, really. So the motif is picked up by Paul a lot and others, and the writer to the Hebrews, which I'll allude to later on, of athletics on God's racetrack, being on God's racetrack. But what I know about sports, having met one or two quite good sports people, is both men and women, is that to be really successful, really committed, to really get through to those high levels, you have got to be totally dedicated and totally committed. That I said to you when I shared a tent at Boys Brigade camp with two twins who were both middle distance runners who'd got scholarships in America because of their running prize. Well, even at camp, they were up at 6 in the morning running. They were asleep most of the rest of the time, to be fair with them. You know, they could still be slobby young people, but they were dedicated to this. Notice that with people who push through in football and other areas, how important it is. That they're totally dedicated to what they're doing and totally committed. And so that's a picture that I want us to carry on, because that is understood. That's taken as a given, if you like, really. So as we read Philippians 3, 12 to 14 this morning, which we've done, Paul makes three comments about athletics and about athletes. Athletes in Team Jesus, not Team Sky or Team anybody else, but it's Team Jesus. Athletes in Jesus's team. And the first thing is that we noted from what Wayne said there is that that we are to forgetting or letting go of the past. That's what Paul says after all this. He says, I'm not there yet. He says, I haven't obtained all these things earlier on. But I'm forgetting all that that's gone past, all the shipwrecks he had and all the trials and all the successes, all the healings, all the miracles, everything else he's done. He's forgetting that. He's pushing off all the conflict that he's had as well. He's letting that go. He's letting go of the past, its hurts, its failures, and its successes. And, you know, it's important that for all athletics as well, and for all athletes in God's team, in Jesus's team, that we forget the past, because it can injure us. Probably because we keep remembering 1966, which I do remember, actually, and I remember the tears coming up as England won and was scoring goals and what have you. It was, I remember it, but the danger is you get stuck there, and it's never been as good since. You know, but actually this team that we have now are saying we're not thinking about that. We're focused on the game tomorrow and today's game. So forgetting the past, its hurts, its failures and its successes. I know you watched on the news that dear lady whose two daughters were murdered. You see that lady, she's a deacon in the church. Really dignified lady who's awful things that went on. Two daughters were murdered, and then the police took selfies with their bodies. It was an appalling thing. This lady who clearly knows Jesus, she's asked, do you forgive the murderer? He says, I've forgiven you. She said, because I will not be chained to it. I will not be chained to it. I've forgiven. Because otherwise it pollutes your thinking. It injures you. You're not doing any harm to them whatsoever. We talk of revenge or hatred. So be it forgiveness or whatever it is, we need to actually choose as she's done. It doesn't take away the pain of it, I'm sure, but it frees her from the grip of it in the same way. And this lady had such dignity, didn't she? Yeah. So I'm sure some of you saw her on the television. I can't think of a name just for the moment. So forgetting, first thing, forgetting. Letting go of the past, Paul says, will help project us forward into the future. So instead of the past holding us back, instead of that, he says, instead of doing that, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. In other words, I've got to keep coming back to it, because actually this is important for God's people in these days, where we have so many things that come at us in so many different directions. Paul is straining ahead with all that he's got. He's focused, like any good athlete. He's single-minded. He's putting all his efforts into that forward process. All his mind, his strength, his body, just like the athlete, pushing forward toward. And so that's the second thing, straining forward. There are times where we just have to idle along. There are times when we need to start to move forward. And we do it by letting go of the past, by stretching forward. And then the third thing Paul says in those things, it's very simple, really, pressing on towards the goal, towards the prize for which God had called him and us heavenward, the stuff to be done here on planet Earth in Team Jesus that only we in his team can do. It's work, it's opportunities, it's victories, it's taking land, all those terminologies that we might have. It's entering something new, it's pushing towards the goal for which God has called us. You know, sometimes if a race is long, you can easily forget what you're in it for. Why am I doing this? And that can happen to us as Christians. We can easily forget, what is the purpose of this? What is the goal at the end of it? And there's things that we're going to achieve as we push on together. See, a runner, one of the things one of these people said on this Olympics thing, one of these older runners, was that they focused only on the finish line. They're like this, they're blinkered on that finish line. And that's exactly, we need to be those that are going to finish well. Not just hobble over, but finish well. Physically, at the moment, I hobble around a little bit, but it's not about a physical thing. It's about a spiritual thing of finishing well, of pushing through to achieve that for which God has put us on the planet. And it's not just stuff here. It's knowing him. It's being more like him. It's being overwhelmed by him. But as we are, that affects us in everyday life and what we do. It's pushing on towards the goal. There's a picture that I'll come on to after a little break in a minute of passing on the baton, that it's not an individual race, it's a team race, it's a baton race, of passing on the baton from one generation to another. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes, but not just yet. Let's recognise that in life's race, if you like, that we're in, that it will ebb and flow because it's not a 100-metre race. It's not just one surge of energy. It will ebb and it will flow, and there'll be times when we might just have to slow up to recharge the batteries a little bit. But it will ebb and flow. But Christians, together, as churches as well, are on a journey of faith. We must keep the momentum towards the finish line, towards the goal for that which God has called us heavenward in Christ. There's a There's an old hymn. I'm not going to play it, so you're okay. You haven't got to worry about that. Andy Pandy was enough for some of you last week, I think. But it's onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. It's a propulsion forward. Forward with God. And there were times when we tread some water, but we are still moving forward. I use that old song that I might get Tony to find one week again. I'm a wounded soldier, but I will not leave the battle because the great physician is healing me. Sure, there are all sorts of things to push through, both as an athlete in the natural and as an athlete in God's service. See, the church was never designed to be static. Never designed to be a little religious gathering. Never designed to be, and sad, it saddens me as I sometimes hear some services on the radio as well. It sounds more like it's just a holding on to the past. It's a holding on to history. More like a reminder of all that's gone on in the past. So those things are nice. But actually, Jesus's church is not a museum of past victories, past events, or even past emotions. No, we together, brothers and sisters, Brian, as I talked to myself as well, we are on God's racetrack. It's his race of life. He's the author and the finisher of that. And he's calling us to move forward together, to forget the past, to put all our effort into moving forward and to press on to the goal. So we're moving forward. So I've got a song with that in mind. Was in the right place, Tony, so that's good. We still got the good, your goodness is running after me, but that fitted really nicely. And hopefully you like that old John Wimber song as well. The words are just so meaningful. You know, the Lord takes us when we're not athletic material, really. We're not the world's best, the biggest, the greatest, or anything else. And the Lord takes us and molds us, makes us like himself, and causes us to be victorious in him. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Have a little nod to that, a little smile. That'd be lovely. Good. We're going to move on now, because I've got sort of part two, more on the athletics, but slightly different thing. My mind got into this week. So it's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. I'll read them to you. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Amen. There we are. We have another picture here of athletes running, of life's race. But we also now move into clearly into the arena scenario. That's really quite interesting, isn't it? It's actually the Lord once at a leaders' conference gave me a clear picture there was an arena around at one end and coming down to the side, and I could see all these people. I couldn't define who they were, but they were there. And they were cheering for me, and they were cheering for others that were there. And it was quite clear that they were there. You couldn't pinpoint who they were, but they were there. And they were encouraging us forward. They'd run their race, but they were encouraging us forward. It's quite interesting. It's a great, it's a picture, this picture of those who have run and received the prize. They're the ones that make up this crowd. It's quite an interesting picture, isn't it, really? And I felt encouraged as I realised that there are others who I'd held up as heroes. And this scripture comes at the end of that great chapter, Hebrews 11, on heroes of faith, the heroes of faith. And in worldly terms, some of them didn't appear successful at all, but they were. We've talked about that many times. But I want you to know that this crowd isn't called a crowd at all. It's called a cloud, a heavenly cloud. Probably why I couldn't see them. A cloud of witnesses encouraging us forward. The now runners, the now baton holders. And it's important for us to understand that. At my last church, one of the services there, we had a young team of people, and one of them there, he'd done DNA and other things, and he was on the leadership team, and I handed him a proper baton, deliberately and symbolically, as we were moving on, for him to take hold of it. And this man's preaching is exceptional. He's not the world's cleverest person. He hasn't got a degree in theology or anything else, but when he speaks, he connects you to heaven. Perhaps I'll get him to come and talk to us. Now, you see, these cloud of witnesses are actually, if you like, the mentors, the heroes. There we are. Fantastic. Notice that you can't quite see who's behind, but baton is being passed on. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. We are the now runners who hold that baton. And in time, we too will pass it on. It was interesting in these Olympics that I watched this documentary. They showed a picture of a young guy who was a track runner. I can't remember his name. Christian, somebody his name was. Perhaps it comes to running woman who won silver at those Olympics. And when he's won, he runs back round and he's seen his mentor in the crowd, who was Linford Christie, the great British runner, who was there. And he went, and the commentator said there was no words. They just embraced each other. And said, it just said there weren't no words. But this guy had been an inspiration to him. He'd been an encouragement to him that he could push through and he could win an Olympic medal, which he did. You see, people like that, and I've got lots of them in my life as well, and you must have had some as well. Their lives and their faith, whilst they're with us, spur us on. And actually, when they've gone, they still spur us on. I can think of lots of people that have spurred me on in life. And as I think back to some of the things that they've said, it encourages me or keeps me going when it's a little bit tough and difficult. I think one or two people that just understood me better than I understood myself, I think, sometimes. But they kept us committed to Team Jesus. And that's the purpose of it. But I want to say each and every one of us should have that role as well, that we will become mentors. We will become encouragers of those that are to come or even those that are running with us. I said to the deacons yesterday, there's a man called Bertie Bulmer Brown, who's such a lovely man of God, who I was so rude to as a youngster. I was really rude to him at a youth meeting. Before I was a Christian, I was very, very offensive. I asked him things that you wouldn't ask anybody. He was a posh gentleman. He was an estate agent. Won't hold that against him. He had all those characteristics. And when I first went into business in my little barber shop at 18, I didn't know it at first. They weren't going to give me the shop because I was only 18. And this man, I'd been rude to a few months ago, then I've become a Christian. He, Christian Malcolm, it was Christian Malcolm, thank you. This older man, this Bertie, he put his money where his mouth was. And he said, I will guarantee this man's rent for his shop. Lynn and I were a bit up and we'd get married. We were very young when we got married and we hadn't talked about where we were going to live. We just assumed it would all happen. It must have been a week or two before we were due to get married, went to sit in this man's office in Brighton, very posh office, and, you know, here we are, teenagers. And he said, well, we've got nowhere to live. He said, well, God's got a perfect view of all the empty houses from his perspective. He said, he's got them for you. And within days, he made a couple of phone calls and we had somewhere to live. It was very nice as well. And from there, this man was prayed for me regularly in Lynn. And he became an elder in my church when I was at Southwick. And he prayed regularly every day and phoned me up and he'd encourage me two or three times a week. How are you doing, dear boy? Now, that's a mentor. That's a hero of faith. And sadly, he dropped dead in front of the whole church. I asked him standing for me one morning, and the last words on his mouth was, Jesus, and he collapsed to the floor and died. Even though we had doctors in the thing, he passed away doing the thing he loved the most. Now, we hadn't built a new building there by that stage in Southwood, but this man had inspired me in my journey and my walk with the Lord, coming to faith, and we knew he'd prayed for us. Now, it wasn't for his sake that we pushed on. It was for the sake of the Jesus that he represented, that we pushed on and built this building at Southwood, which is still there to this day serving God. That it isn't because of people, it's because of what God's done in them. We see something in them as well, and they see something in you. That's really important. And, you know, there are times in life when actually it's their turn to pick up the bat, it's their turn to run, it's their turn to be looked at as the experts. And you know, you'll find in time that people will say, well, how did you build a church with so few of you? What on earth happened? Why did this happen? Why did it grow and expand? Well, because God inspired us. But we've been inspired by those who went before us, and we were inspired by those who come after us. So I want just to do that. Now, I just want to very quickly pick this scripture apart a little bit for you, if you will. It's not for their sake, it's for Jesus' sake. What does it say here? Consider Jesus alone, who by his spirit still encourages us to keep running when we don't feel we can. It's the same Jesus who did not, this scripture tells us, lose heart when he walked on the earth. He did not give up. Towards God, he pushed on towards his goal, towards the cross. He didn't grow weary. If he did that as our example as well, then we can do the same, because his spirit, the same spirit that drove Jesus on, is in us as well as was in him. Amen? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you sure? Put it a little nod, it'll be good. Thank you very much. Good. Because that's important, you see. Every Christian is a runner then in Team Jesus. And God has set out a race for us. And so the first thing that I want to note here as well is that all athletes, we need to strip off everything that slows us up. You know, it's very technical these days how they find out this, that and the other, so that you can move faster with diet and everything else. But we are to strip away at the sin. It says, don't get entangled by it in the old translation. You know, it says, throw off everything that hinders. And the sin that so easily entangles. So it's not just sin, but it's everything that stops us being focused. Strip everything away that slows us down. And it's a good time for us to think about what's slowing me up in my pursuit of Jesus for his kingdom. Let's remember that we are not held backwards. You know, through the cross of Jesus, as we read here, I'm forgiven. I can forgive. I'm not chained to my past. So you won't ever be any good. That's a lie. If a teacher ever told you, that's not true. Actually, we are all victors on Team Jesus. He picked us to be victorious because he's victorious. His spirit enables us. So we're forgiven. And we're to let go of things that don't have to hold on to us. The good, yeah, as well as the bad. And we are to focus our attention on that finishing line. Here it is again. That's what one of these runners said. They said, I just focus my attention on that line. In fact, I think it was this Christian Malcolm who said it. I focused my attention on that run, on that line, and I was going to run for all I had. And that's sometimes what we need to do with Jesus. And if we fall over, he's going to pick us up. And that's even more important, brothers and sisters, right now. As we move back into our building and back out of our building at some stage fairly soon, into an unknown part of the course. We haven't run this way before. We haven't got this far before. We haven't been down this path of course. It's a course that's been preset for us in eternity by Jesus. Because let's remember what it says here. He is the author and the finisher. In other words, he's the starter of this journey. He runs with us, but he's also the finisher of it, the perfecter. He will bring us through on our journey of faith. So it's good from time to time to remember these things, to refocus on our new and unknown path to the race that God's called us to. It's new and unknown. Your deacons were talking about that yesterday. But we're in this race together to encourage and to support one another and to move forward, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, so that we don't need to be distracted, but as a team, to be single-minded. And we talked about that yesterday, your deacons, that we need to be very single-minded if we are to move from having a dream of a new building, a new presence immersed, and a new opportunity, a new centre to work out from that will attract people, we believe, to Jesus. To move it from a piece of paper to a dream requires us all, not just me and not just your deacons, but each and every one of us to be single-minded, to be focused on the task in front of us. That we are to become not going to church for what I can get out of it. So many people across the land seem to do, and I don't believe we have many of those with us, that we don't go to church for me, what I can get for my needs, for my wants, I want this, that and the other, which is what the consumer Christian says. You know, and the world recently has been full of consumerism, consumer Christians. But we are to be participators, runners in the race, participating in it. And maybe that's for us to ask Lord help, but participate we will in this race. And Jesus says that we're in a team sport. It's a team sport. We're to be focused and single-minded from distractions. You notice what they're doing with the English football team. They win the semi-final. We're going to have big parties. No, we're focused on the next game, the win. Then there's the great victory. But actually, there are times when you just say, we won't get drawn away to suck our energy even into that. To be focused on working and winning together. About time that we start to win together. There's something stirring in Merston, something important. In fact, it's probably stirring all over the world if we bother to check. God is doing something that only he can do. And just want to say to you, the last thing I want to say is it's the Holy One. It's Jesus, the author and the perfecter, who's chosen you and me. He's called you and me, and he's equipped and is equipping you and me for this race at this time. We used to sing that song that I know other people used to like singing. It's your breath in our lungs. It's God's spirit in us that causes us to be able to push forward, to project into the future, to be victorious in him. I am fed up reading other people's stories of faith, and so you should be as well. They're lovely, but they're theirs. God has got a story for us, a story that this little place on the outskirts of Red Hill, this little place can do mighty things and win mighty battles for God. So you've done them in the past, which encourages us for now and for the future. We don't yet know what it will be, but it will be big. Can you hear my heart for you this morning? I want to encourage us to this projection. He's chosen us for this. He could have chosen anybody. There's much bigger churches down the road. No, he's chosen you, little Merston and little Pastor Brian, for such a time as this. Jesus himself is calling you and I then to press on, to press onwards, to strain forwards to the winning line of victory together. Just like I believe we'll see an England team do that tonight. And even if they lose, well, they've tried together. But win or lose England, we are on a winning team. Actually, that is absolutely convinced of. So don't get sidetracked like that. We're going to win together. The scripture is sure, he that called you is faithful, and he will do it. As we focus afresh, he won't force us to, and we focus on him alone, he will enable us to fulfill the purposes for which he's put us together. Here today, not yesterday, here today at Merston, and wherever you are, there are purposes for you. If you're joining us online, God's got purposes for you where you are as well. That's important. And that as we push towards the victory line, and it isn't a new building, that's just part of the on the course we're in. The cloud of witnesses will roar, and they are roaring now, and they're shouting, come on, Merston, yeah, come on, you can do this thing, come on. And finally, the great leader, our Lord Jesus, will say to us, well done, here's your medal, and we simply hand it back to him.